it's growing slower, but I have this consolation. As the years grow swiftly on, knowing that with each passing day, that I'm one day closer home.
Amen.
One day closer home, one less day till I see Jesus, one more day to tell somebody, God's the only one who can free us. If I live to see tomorrow, when this day is past and gone, no, I don't feel any hope. But I'm one day closer home. People say for a rainy day, but the rains come so fast. Earthly treasures just pass away. What's done for Christ will last. So I'm planning for my future, and it's somewhere around God's throne. That with each passing day, that I'm one day closer home. One day closer home, one less day till I see Jesus, one more day to tell somebody, God's the only one who'll free us. If I live to see tomorrow, when this day is past and gone, no, I don't feel any older, but I'm one day closer home. No, I don't feel any older, but I'm one day closer home.
We're going to sing 168, and then after that, we're going to have another special by Brother Jonathan and Brother Rommel after that. So, amen. Let's 168. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcome his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on the heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in the story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Lord, may I always remember, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Amen. Brother Romel, Brother Jonathan. Brother Jonathan thinks this is hot weather. He's here from Chicago.
My dad and I are going to sing for you a modern hymn called As the Deer. And Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Would you all rise, and for our offering, we're going to turn over to 549, and would the ushers please come after this song, 549. Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land, far below the storms of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle on the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing that can reach me, 'tis Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here there's naught can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking from the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Viewing here the works of God, I sing in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Amen.
Our Father, thank you for the privilege of dwelling in Beulah land. Every day with Jesus is dwelling in Beulah land. We thank you for this gathering together today. We thank you for each person that's here. We come with hungry hearts today. Fill us with your divine word. Feed us, Lord, from that manna from on high. We pray that you will bless our service now, prepare each heart for the word of God. And as we give unto you, we pray that you will use our gifts for your name's honor and glory, for it's unto you that all honor and glory and praise belongs. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Johnny, would you get ready to sing, please?
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
You know, all the hoopla is over with now. Christmas tree's been taken out and everything, the toys been opened and all that good stuff.
There you go.
But you know what? Sad to know that the blessing of the Lord has ceased also. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I don't care what day it is, what time it is. I'm going to bless my Lord continuously.
Amen.
Please.
Amen.
Of chains with bleeding stripes, all in silence they prayed at night, and in their pain they begin to see their chains were loosed. Then they were free. I'll bless your name. Oh, I'll bless your name. I give you honor. I'll give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name, Lord, I bless your name. The midnight hour, oh, if you just find that you're in a prison in your mind, you just reach out and pray. Defy those. All in Jesus' name. I'll bless your name. I'll bless your name. I give you honor. Oh, I'll give you praise. My life to the way. I'll bless your name. Yes, I'll bless your name. Now you are the light, oh, the truth and the way. Oh, I bless your name, my Lord. Oh, I bless your name. Yes, I will continually praise God. That's my Lord Jesus. Glory.
All right. I have a minor prayer request today of you. It's a sort of a personal thing. Today is the 27th of December. 2 months ago today, we had a plumbing problem in my house. And on the 27th, the day I wrote a check for over $5,000 to get one commode in my house unstopped, okay? Today is the first day of the third week already that I had another stop up at the house. This was the shower. We had the tub taken out of our house and a shower built in. And of course it holds water about that deep. And when I say it holds water, it holds water. Water will not run out it. It stays in there. And every drop of water that's taken out is scooped out, put in a bucket, and disposed of. And so I'm entering into the third week of this. It will be at least 2 more weeks before I can get plumbers out with an estimate of $7,000 to unplug our shower drain. Okay? I don't know what it's plugged up with, but anyway, that's the way it is. So I'll tell you, pray with me, because this is getting pretty expensive, you know, $5,000 1 month, $7,000 the next. First thing you know, the plumber's going to own my house. And so anyway, it kind of reminds me of the old days. It's not really that bad, you know. Goodness gracious, I remember when we wanted water in the house, we had a well that was about 65 feet deep out in the backyard, and I'd go out there and let the water bucket down and bring it up out of that well, a gallon at a time. And we kept it, and we learned how to use the same water again and again and again. We, you know, for different purposes. But anyway, it's kind of like going back to your childhood days, not having water in the house. Well, we got water in the house, but no way to get it out. Put it that way. So anyway, you pray somewhere in town, there may be a plumber that knows how to do that type of plumbing. I had one good plumber that came out, and he worked on it for 3 solid hours. I mean, he worked on it. I was there with him, and I saw what he did. And he couldn't touch it, and he finally just gave up in disgust and apologized, said, "I'm sorry," and left. Didn't even charge me anything for his 3 hours' work. Can you imagine that? I was willing to pay him, but it was late at night. He was in a hurry, and I wished him Merry Christmas. God bless you. But it's a problem. God's in control. Anyway, open your Bibles with me this morning to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. I think that's still here in my Bible. I was following the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in Mark's gospel, and I got down to this 8th chapter, and I found that Jesus was at a place called Bethsaida, beg your pardon. Got a lot of Beths in the Bible. Beth, by the way, is a word that starts a lot of Bible names. Beth means house of. Bethlehem, house of bread. And this one is Bethsaida, That means house of fishing. They got houses for everything, don't they? All right, let's look here in Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. By the way, the him that is talking about here is Jesus. This is Jesus. And they bring a blind man to him and besought him and begged him to touch him. They had the faith to believe that all Jesus would have to do is to touch the body of this blind man, and the blind man's sight would be restored. Now, I don't know if he was born blind. I don't know if he had an accident that caused him to go blind or some disease or whatever with his eyes. But whatever it was, the fact remains he was blind. He could not see. And he had friends. And his friends were concerned about his physical well-being. That's good. I think people ought to care for one another's well-being like that. By the way, that little fella over there in Arizona by the name of Miles, he's free of cancer, Linda. He had cancer. When he was in his mother's womb, he had cancer in his little body. It didn't show up until a couple of years after he was born. He started getting sick from it. And then they found out that he had cancer throughout his body. And that little guy has been through about every procedure that they know anything about. He's had it. And now he's cancer-free. By the way, all that medication and stuff that they gave him for his cancer when he was being treated affected his little eardrums. And so now then, they're going to have to send him to a place that's going to be working on his ears to restore his hearing. He's got a hearing loss. He's 3 1/2 now. But physically, he's in good shape. And thank you for your prayers. And don't let anybody say that prayer doesn't change things. It does. Now, these people who lived back yonder 2,000 years ago nearly had the faith to believe that this man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, had the ability and the compassion to cure a blind man, give him his sight back. So they bring him to Jesus. They brought him to Jesus. Now, Jesus took the blind man, verse 23, by the hand and led him out of the town. He was there in Bethsaida, and he didn't want to do it out on the main street for some reason or other. So he took him by the hand and led him outside the city limits. And when he had spit on his eyes, now this is the first time that's happened. He's healed blind people before, but usually he could speak a word and not even touch their bodies and they would be healed of their blindness. He could touch them and they would be healed from their blindness. And here, Roger, he walks up to this guy and spits it in his eye. Them's fighting words. You know, this guy couldn't see, but he might have been swinging at him. I don't know. You know, very idea, spitting in my eye. Terrible. Spit in his eye. I don't know what that's got to do with restoring sight, but this is Jesus, and that's the way he does things. Very unusual, wasn't it? And he also put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught. Do you see anything? What do you see? Describe it. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he, Jesus, sent him away to his house. He says, go home. Go back to your family where you live. He says, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Don't go back into Bethsaida. Now, there's going to be people seeing you walking down the street through town, and some of them may recognize you as that man who was blind. I don't know if he had a seeing eye dog. I don't know if he had a white cane. I don't know how he could be distinguished as a blind man or recognized as a blind person. But surely there were people in town. The town wasn't that big, who recognized him as that man who was blind. But look at him. Now he can see. He can see where he's going. He can see where to put the next step. And he said, don't tell it to anyone in the town. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I am? We'll take up there in a minute. But let's think for a moment about Bethsaida. Did you find it on your map yet? When somebody mentions a name, I always turn to the back of my Bible, and I've got several maps back there. And you can go and find this place and see exactly where it is. When I read this, I thought, Bethsaida? I know where that is. I've been there. I remember the bus that we were on, the tour bus. We went through it, continued up north until we found a bridge that went across the Jordan River, and we crossed over the bridge, got on the other side of it. We stopped the bus, everybody went over there and walked across the bridge, across the Jordan River, threw a pebble in, you know, and made a wish, something like that, see? And Anyway, you could get out in the middle of the bridge and you had an unobstructed view looking north and looking south down the river. Very interesting place. House of Fishing. According to John chapter 1, verse 44, this was the hometown of three of Jesus' apostles. This was the place where Andrew and Peter, brothers, lived. They were fishermen, remember? Mending their nets, Jesus came along and said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And they left their nets and followed Jesus. Philip also was of Bethsaida. Now, this man was restored and saw every man clearly. There's been an awful lot of analysis and speculation of this miracle that Jesus performed that didn't seem to work the first time. Can you see? Yeah, I can see men. They look like trees walking. Well, that's not good enough. That's not 2020. As bad as mine. But anyway, he had sight. Now, everything we know about Jesus tells us that he was not just having a bad day. There are not days when it works and days when it don't work. With him, it's supposed to work all the time. He was not having to redo the miracle to get it right. It's interesting that Mark is the only one of the four gospel writers that records this. Matthew, Luke, John, they don't touch it. Okay, Mark, we'll leave that up to you. And he's the only one of the gospel writers that records this. The divine author of the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God, had a distinct reason for having Mark record this incident. Listen to this. When Mark began his gospel writing undertaking, he set out to write an account, he says, of the life of Christ for a Roman audience. The four gospels were written that way. One for the Jews, one for the Greeks, one for these, one for that. And Mark was writing for a Roman audience. Now, the Romans knew nothing about the Jews' religion. They didn't know anything about the Bible and about the prophecies that God had made through his prophets about Jesus coming into the world and all of this. They didn't know anything about that. They were in ignorance concerning this. Now, so that means that they didn't have a Jewish religious background, okay? They were Gentiles. And he set out his purpose in his very first sentence. He says, the beginning of the gospel, the word gospel, you know, means good news, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See that? He is writing to share the gospel, the good news about Jesus, who was the Messiah, which means the Christ, the promised one, and the Son of God, using two names for Jesus. This is interesting in here too. You'll appreciate this, I think. Direct and to the point. He includes in his gospel the account of two major miracles of restoring sight to the blind. And after each of these two miracles of restoring sight to the blind, there is a confession of faith concerning the deity of Jesus Christ after each one of them. And let's look at them. Now, this first miracle here, where this man got his eyes spit on, you can remember that, can't you? Is followed by Peter's confession. We read it. Jesus asked in verse 27, "Whom do men say that I am?" And it was, they answered and said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, come back alive. Herod had cut his head off, you know." And they thought that Jesus was a reincarnation of John the Baptist. And others say that you are Elijah. Elijah, he'd been gone for 750 years. They think you're Elijah come back. Or they think you're one of the prophets. And then Jesus narrowed his question down and said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Let's forget about what everybody else is saying about me. Let's forget everybody else's opinion of me. What do you, as an individual apostle of Jesus Christ, think I am? Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ." Christ, the promised one. Christ, the Messiah, that the prophets prophesied would come. Now, Simon Peter had spiritual insight. But Simon Peter's spiritual insight concerning Christ was not fully developed. He was seeing men as trees walking, if you please. He said, "Thou art the Christ." But he did not fully comprehend the rest of the truth. Jesus Christ was not only the Messiah, the Christ, but he was also the Son of God. The Son of God. The Son of God who must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priest and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Peter's knowledge of Jesus was partial. He's the prophet that the prophets of the Old Testament wrote about. He's the Messiah, the promised one. He's the one that's going to be King of kings and Lord of lords and rule the world in righteousness. But he didn't know all about him. He didn't know that he was also the Son of God. He didn't know him as the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. As Philip would say, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You see how much more insight we have here? Peter at this point could only see the trees walking. And that's shown by his attempt to rebuke Jesus when Jesus said something about him dying and being raised from the dead the third day. Oh, no, you're not going to die. You can't die. But that was the reason Jesus had come into the world, was to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He's the Savior of men. And then Mark follows this by recording Jesus' lesson on discipleship. But let's go on over to Mark chapter 10. Mark presents the second miracle of Jesus restoring sight to the blind. He's traveled all the way down the river now to the city of Jericho. He crosses over the Jordan River at Jericho, goes through the town, gets over here on the outskirts of Jericho, and here is a blind man in Jericho. We've got his name. We know who he is. His name is Bartimaeus. He's a beggar. So what happens? Look at verse 46. There's no two-stage process here. There's no men as trees walking. They came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Go to verse 48. I want to read the rest of this. Verse 48 says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. Told him to shut up. Be quiet. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man and saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Didn't even spit in his eye. Didn't even touch him. go thy way. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. How wonderful? Now, we said this second miracle is also followed by a second confession. This time, the confession is not made by Simon Peter. This confession is made by a Roman centurion. A Roman centurion was an officer in charge of 100 men in the Roman army. He was an officer in charge. He had been appointed in charge of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know his name. One day we will meet him on the streets of glory. Now, the confession of the Roman centurion. I want you to notice the time and the circumstances that this confession is made. A very holy and sacred hour. It takes place just as Jesus is dying on the cross. Jesus says, "It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. And at the moment that the spirit of life left the crucified body of Jesus on that cross and winged its way into the presence of God, the Jews were inside the temple worshiping God. And all of a sudden, there was a ripping, a tearing, a loud sound that came from the most holy place. And it was the veil that separated God from his people that was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Just a big old unseen hand that grabbed a hold of that. That veil was so thick and so tough that they say that if you took a yoke of oxen and tied it to one side and a yoke of oxen and tied it to the other side and had those oxen pulling in opposite directions, you could not tear that veil. And here it is hanging up here in the temple. And the ripping sound is from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top, indicating to me that God is the one who's doing the ripping. And at the very moment that veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, the Spirit of Christ was winging its way back to God to take his seat at the right hand of the Father. What's the confession that Roman centurion who was overseeing the crucifixion cried out in verse 39 of chapter 15? Truly, this man was the Son of God. The Son of God, not the Messiah, but he was the Son of God. God the Son. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You see, Mark's message is that Jesus is the Messiah, but he's also the Son of God. By his person, by his works, by the miracles that he performed, they could see that he was the Messiah, the Christ. The prophets had prophesied that he would do these things. He was fulfilling what the Old Testament prophets had said that he would do. But he was more than that. Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God, God the Son, God manifest in the flesh, who had come into this world to die the death for the sins of the world, which he did on Calvary's cross. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you think of Calvary, when you think of the crucifixion of Christ, keep in mind that Jesus is God, and he was offering himself a sacrifice. He was offering it to himself, making an atonement for the sins of the world. And it is the blood of God that cleanses us from our sin. Not we ourselves. There's no sacrifice we can bring that'll outdo that. You and I have been bought with a price. And when Jesus died on the cross, God shed his blood for the remission of our sins, pure and simple. We go to heaven because of it. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Precious Father, your word is so dear to our hearts. We thank you for each word that has been penned for us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you for Jesus. Truly, he was the miracle-working Son of God, demonstrating his power over everything, even walking on the water, calming the storm, controlling the winds of nature. But he's also the sin barrier, the one that took our sins to the cross, nailed them, and left them there. He paid the price for our redemption. And there's so many people in the world today that do not know that, and even more that don't believe it. May each person here in this congregation today go away knowing that Christ died for our sins. We thank you for your goodness and grace, and pray that every person in this congregation today may know Christ as their own personal Savior. For we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
493. 493. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. for you and for me. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home.
You are weary,
come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling.
Remember our services when tonight at 6 o'clock and Wednesday at 6 o'clock also, Bible study, okay? Good to see you today. Have a good afternoon, and we'll look forward to seeing you tonight in our evening service. And as we are dismissed in prayer, I want to ask Brother Pat Patterson to lead us in our benediction today.